Today's daf is daf chaf hey. So we last discussed in the bottom of chaf dalad amir beis machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, which begadim the kohen would be wearing when coming to do the payasa. So according to Rav Nachman, they were wearing big day chol as they stood around doing the payas, and whoever got the was selected, so he would go get dressed for the big day kodesh. Rav Sheshes felt that no, they should all be wearing big day kodesh, and whoever is selected, then he's prepared to ready to do the avoda. So Gemara says in the last two lines of chaf dalad amir beis. Amr of Nachman, no, Aminola, how do I know that they were wearing big day chol? The Mishnah says, Masrun l'chazanim, hayu mafshitin olson as big day. So then after the person who was selected, the coin that was selected, goes to the chazanim, and he would remove his clothing as big day. V'lahiyu manichan alein el michnasayim bavad. All he'd be wearing is just his pants. So the Gemara says, what was he removing? Which clothing was he removing? My lav, going on to daf chaf hey, my lav v'osan shezachol l'fayis. This is not referring to those who were zocha in the fayas. They won the election or whatever, the lottery fell on them. So now they removed their big day chol, and now they wear their big day kodesh. So clearly they were wearing big day chol before the pious, at the pious. So the Gemara says back, no, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo, not true, b'osan shelo zachu l'fayas. It's referring to those who did not win the fayas. In other words, everybody showed up wearing their big day kodesh. Those who lost, those who did not win, then they'd remove their big day kodesh because they should not be wearing them if they are not doing the avoda. So halchanami mistaver. It's also very logical to say this because this hakadaitach ba'osan shezachu l'fayas. If you were to say, it's a little confusing how to read this. If you were to say that the ones who won the fayas, they removed their big day chol and put on their big day kodesh. So the Brisa says, "Lo hayu manichan alein ella michnasayim bavad." All they would be wearing is the pants. It sounds like they had big dechol. They took off all their big dechol, but left their big dechol pants on, and then they got dressed over their big dechol. But that can't be the case. The big dechodesh michnasayim must be directly in the basar, in the flesh, not the michnasay, the big dechol. The Hatanya doesn't the Brisa clearly state? Minayin shelo yehed davar kodem lemichnasayim. Nothing should be prior to the michnasayim of Bigdei Kodesh. How do I know? Tam alomer umichnasei vad yuhal besaro. But it sounds from this presentation that the Bigdei Chol was first and the Bigdei Kodesh was on top of the michnasayim of Bigdei Chol. So just look at Rashi. Rashi says, top line, di isak adaitach ba'osan shezachu. If you were to think that those who were zocha, the ones who were zocha, removed big dechol and then put the big dechodesh on. V'avshat the zoo big dechol. The removing described in the brisa is removing big dechol. V'ulabishan, and when it talks about putting on clothing, is referring to big dechodesh. The katani lo hayu manichan alein ela michnasei bechol. And then the way to read the brisa is that all they had left on was the big dechol pants. Alma malbishin also big day kodesh al michnasei chol. It sounds like they wear the big day kodesh pants on top of the big day chol pants. V'charkach poshim michnasei chol, and then they kind of remove the pants big day chol from underneath somehow. V'lovshim michnasei kodesh, but that's wrong because the first thing that must be put on directly, you have to put the michnasayim of big day kodesh directly on the basar. Therefore, it makes sense to say that they were wearing big day kodesh, and those who were not zocha removed the big day chodesh and got redressed with a big day chol. So Gemara says, V'idach, how does the other one respond? The other one responds that no, they actually showed up in big day chol and then they put big day chodesh afterwards if they were zocha. How's he going to read the brisa? So he has a whole new reading to the brisa. V'idach halokash, it's not a kasha. The way the brisa is meant to be understood or read is hachi katani. Ad she'odin aleya big day chol, while the big day chol was still on them, they would be malbishin also michnasei kodesh. They would then put on big day kodesh. Va'yu mafshitin also big day chol. Then they remove big day chol. V'lo manichan al michnasayim bavad. A little confusing how to read that again. So again, they read this ad she'odin alein big day chol. While the big day chol was still on them, malbishin also michnasei kodesh. Sound like they'd remove their weekday pants, but they'd still be wearing their weekday shirts. And then they put the michnasei vad kodesh on. They put their pants on of kodesh while still wearing big day chol shirt, and then hayu mafshitin also big day chol. Then they take off the big day chol shirt. V'lo hayu manichan el michnasayim bavad. Then they'd be standing there just with their pants on, with no shirt. That's how they show up. So they'd be wearing pants at the pious and nothing else. Okay, a bit confusing. Either way, there's a brisa that can be read in both ways. There is no raya. So now the Gemara wants to know, Amar of Sheshes mina aminila. How does Rav Sheshes know that they were wearing big day chodesh during the pious? We're 10 lines down now in Daf Chafer. So the Gemara says, the Tani, the Brisa teaches us that lishchas agazis k'min besilka gedola haisa. The lishchas agazis, the area where they would do the pious, was a silka, which Rashi says was a very tall building, which had a second floor on top of it. And in this lishchas agazis, pious b'mizracha, the pious took place in the eastern part of this lishcha. V'zakin yoshev b'marava, and there was an old man standing on the west of this area. V'kohanim mukafin v'omdim k'min b'kulyer, they were standing around in a circle, all the kohanim. V'mamuna ba, the mamuna, the kohen who was in charge of the pious, would show up. V'noto mitznefes meroshel she'echamen, he'd take off the hat for one of the kohanim. And v'yodim, they knew, shemimenu pious maschu, they knew from that person who he randomly chose, is where the numbers are going to start counting from that kohen whose hat was just removed. That's the braisa. So now, how does he learn from the braisa that you're supposed to wear big day kodesh? Because zikzakadaitach b'big day chol, if you were to think that they're wearing big day chol, mitznefes b'big day chol mi'ika, was there a weekday clothing of a mitznefes? Mitznefes is talking about big day kodesh. So from the fact that the mamuna removes the mitznefes, must be that they were wearing big day kodesh. And Gemara says that's not a raya either, because in we do have such a case where you kind of have a big day chol wearing a mitznefes. Kitatani of Yehuda, v'seima Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, Kohen she'asusa lo imo ksonis over ba avodas yachid. So we're going to see this later on in towards the end, maybe the second last parak, if I remember correctly, that the mothers of the Kohen would make big day kuna, a very nice big day kuna. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Kedegatani Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, the Kaman Beper Gimel, I guess the third parak, Laman Hey, Sheyu Imosayan Shekoanim Osos Livneim Mishalahen, that the mothers would weave their own and make their own fabric, their own clothing for their children, the Kohanim. Kimin Big De Kuna, like Big De Kuna, not actually Big De Kuna, but it looked like Big De Kuna. Leharos Teferis Ocean, to show how wealthy they were, to show off their money. V'noi Melachlan, how beautiful they were able to weave clothing. V'kamehein Mehu Daris Mitzvos, and how much they loved to be involved in mitzvos. But they weren't real, they were not real Big De Kuna, because they didn't come from the fund of the Beis HaMikdash, but they looked like it. So they made all the four begadim just like so their children could show up wearing similar big day kuna. So we have, therefore, the mitznefes can be a big day chol. So just because the mamuna removed the mitznefes does not mean that they were in big day kodesh, because we have that they had big day chol that replicated the big day kodesh. So the Gemara now says, rather, before we go to the Vayitin and the Gemara, look at Tosis for a second. Tosis points out, notel mitznefes shel echar mehem. Mikan, from here, we have a kasha leperish riva. The perish tishakoin hedyot kuya migbas, the fishi rachba. The hat, we know that both a kohen hedyot and a kohen gadol wore hats, but they're different hats. The kohen hedyot's hat was much larger and wider. That's called the migbas, according to riva. And mishakoin gadol, it's called a mitznefes, shi ktsara. The kohen gadol's hat was much smaller. Why? The fishi ayatzarech lanich tefillin v'titz. You have to have space for the tefillin and the titz as well. So either way, he says, the kohen gadol's hat was called a mitznefes, and the kohen hedyot was called a megbas. But here the Gemara says that the kohen hedyot was called a mitznefes. So which one is the mitznefes, the kohen hedyot or the kohen gadol? So this is a kasha to the riva. So Tosa answers, v'yei shlomar, lashon Torah l'chud, v'lashon chachamim l'chud. That the way the Torah uses the word mitznefes is different than the way the lashon chachamim. Lashon Torah, courage l'shal kohen gadol mitznefes, and he goes on to prove how in the world of the Torah, they use the word mitznefes to describe the kohen gadol's hat. But in the Lashon Chachamim, apparently, I don't know why there's a difference, but there's a difference. In the Lashon Chachamim, they refer to the hat of the Kohen Hedyot as a mitznefes. So there is no stira, Lashon Torah l'chud, Lashon Chachamim l'chud. So now the Gemara says halfway down the Amud here, Amar Abai, Shema Amina, we could learn from here, Lishchas HaGazis, Chetzi B'Kodesh, V'Chetzi B'Chol. It must be that this Lishchas HaGazis was half of it was Kodesh, half of it was Chol. So how do we know? Shema Amina, because Shnei Psachim HaYu must be there for, the reason why I'll say outside, I guess, first is because the fact that the Zakin was sitting down, you can't sit down in the Kodesh area. You can't sit down in the Azara, must be it was Chol. And the fact that the pious was done in the other half, that must be done in an area of Kodesh, as we'll see as well. So half was Kodesh, half was Chol. The Zakin was in the Chol side, that's why he sat down. The Kohanim were in the Kodesh side, that's why the pious was done there. So Gemara explains all this. So again, Shema Amina, Lishchas HaGazis Chetzi B'Kodesh V'Chetzi B'Chol. V'Shema Amina, we can also learn from here, that Shnei Psachim Ayu, there must have been two entrance ways into the area. Echad Pasuach B'Kodesh, V'Echad Pasuach B'Chol. Because we're about to prove, if you remember from the Gemara's in Psachim, whichever area it enters into, that's going to define the room. Meaning if the Lishcha was entering into Kodesh, the whole Lishcha becomes Kodesh. And if the Lishchas was entering into Chol, then the whole area becomes Chol. So how do you have one area that's Kodesh and Chol? Must be that there are two Psachim, one from Kodesh, making that half Kodesh, and the other Pasach was Chol, making the other half Chol. So the Gemara says, Echad Pasuch Bekodesh Echad Pasuch Bechol. Because this Hakadaitech, if you were to think Kula Kodesh, the entire Lishchas HaGazel was Kodesh, Zaken Yoshib Bamarava. How could the Zaken sit in the western part of this Lishcha? V'ha'a Marmar, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Elel Malchay Beis David Bavad. Only Malchay Beis David had the right to sit in the Azara. Why? It's a different discussion, but that was a din. The Zaken seemingly wasn't, he was a Kohen, seemingly, not Malchus Beis David. He had no right to sit in the Azara, or any other area that's Kodesh, must be then, he was sitting in the half that was Chol. Now, Vis Hakadaitech Kula Bechol, if you were to assume that the entire Lishchas HaGazis was Chol, pious b'mizracha, how were they able to do the pious in the eastern part of the Lishcha if it was Chol? V'ha ba'inan, don't we need, based on the pasuk we saw yesterday, that b'beis elokim nahalich b'regesh v'leka, that the whole energy, the whole, the back and forth of pious must be in beis elokim, in Kodesh. So it must be that's Kodesh as well. Elishma mina chetze b'kodesh v'chetze b'chol. Half of it was Chol, which is where the Zaken was sitting. The other half was Kodesh, which is where the pious took place.
So the Zaken was sitting in the northwest area, and the pious was in the southeast area.
I'm not sure now, north or south. I don't know east and west. I don't know north or south. I'm not sure.
Because the Chol was in the north and the east, right? And the south of it was in the
Kodesh. No, I think east and west. Not talking north and south here, I don't think.
But the entrance where it's Chol is coming from the north side.
I'm not sure. I don't know. If you were to think Pesach Echad Yesha, if you were to think that only one entranceway entered into the Lishcha, Upasuach LeKodesh, and it had an entranceway from the Kodesh, so then Zaken Yoshi B'Marava, how could you sit in the western part of this Lishcha? Now, it's not the Mishnah says HaLishchos HaBenuyas B'Chol, a Lishcha that although it was built in an area that it itself is Chol, Upsuchos LeKodesh, but the entranceway is from Kodesh, Tochen Kodesh, that will make the entire Lishcha Kodesh, and the Zaken couldn't sit there, so it can't have one entranceway to Kodesh. And the flip side, V'sakadaitach Pasuch L'Chol, if you were to say that the entranceway was to a place that was Chol, Pious B'Mizracha, how could the Pious take place in the eastern part? V'atzan, the Mishnah says, B'nuyas B'Kodesh, although a Lishcha might be built in an area that's Kodesh, if it's Pesuchas L'Chol, the entire thing is Tochen L'Chol. Elishmamina, we can learn the second halacha here, that Shnei Pesachim Hayu, there were two entranceways, Echad Pesuch B'Kodesh, V'echad Pesuch L'Chol. Take a look at Tosus Dir Maskel, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara. He says, Tema. Damer b'perek beis dizvachem daf tezayim uma yoshiv she'ochel im avad v'chilol. So the Gemara there is talking about how a person he sits he eats. So how can a person sit and eat? We just said you can't sit in the beis hamikdash unless you come from Malchus beis David. But certainly one who's eating the karbanos is a kohen, not Malchus beis David. So how could yoshiv eat if it's ein yeshiv ba'azara elo malchay beis David? So Tosfos gives a few answers. He says v'yesh lomar she'ochel b'kodshim kalam hanecham b'chol ir. This was not talking about eating inside the Azara, but someone eating outside the areas with the Beis HaMikdash, anywhere within Yerushalayim. Kachem Kam can be eaten within Yerushalayim. That's the yeshiva that's being described. In a Hanami, you cannot eat inside the Beis HaMikdash proper. Inami, alternatively, Omeri, Bar Arvam, which is the Riva, De'af Agav, De'ein Yeshiva Bazar, El Malchay Beis David, even though only those who come from the lineage of Beis David could sit in the Azara, Hani Mile Lidvarm, De'lav L'tzarech Avoda. It's only for matters not related to the Avoda. You can't just sit down in the Azara unless you come from Malchus Beis David. Aval Achila, which is Tzarech Avodahi, that would be permitted to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. That's his third pshat. And then he goes on to give further that later on in the Tosas, a similar idea that eating kachim is supposed to be eaten l'mashcha, l'gdula, like we've described, k'dech shem lachem ochlin, which means to sit down and to relax. So the 2 days in Tosas is either that it was taking place outside the Beis HaMikdash, or even yeshiva in the Beis HaMikdash is permitted when it comes to either the Tzarech Avodah or it comes to Achilas kachim. Now take a look at the last Tosas on the page before you go weiter. Tosas writes, V'ha ba'inan beis elokim nahalich b'regesh, that they would stand around in a circle in the area that's Kodesh, Tema. Came in the be'inan pious b'kodesh, now that the pious must take place in an area that's Kodesh, amai lohi amafais in ba'azara atzma de Kodesh tray. So once they had to do it in Kodesh, because that was a half where they did the beis elokim, why doing the Lishchas HaGazis? Why not just go into the Azara and do the pious in the Azara itself? Why are we doing the Lishchas HaGazis off to the side? So Tosa gives two answers. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam, Kaven denotel mitznaftel she'echamim, since they're moving the hat from one of the Kohanim, genai hi lamor b'lo mitzefes bazara. It would be inappropriate, it would be disgraceful to stand in the presence of the Shekhinah in the Azara itself without a head covering, and that's why. So you'd be allowed to, but it would be inappropriate. And the second answer is, V'arabbeinu Rabbi Yitzchak bar Baruch perish, Mishum to have a kaima kibikulier, they'd stand around in a circle. And if this were to take place, the circle, inside the Azara itself, I mean, some people's backs will be towards the Heichal, towards Kodesh Kodashim, that would be inappropriate, so you have to have the circle outside the Azara in the Lishcha. Now, according to the first shot here, that it's a Ganai to stand there without a head covering, the Magen Avraham proves from here the following. It says when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, that a person does not need to wear a head covering, he talks about, in the Din and Shulchan Aruch, maybe a Katan he talks about, but then he says, you know what, he says, but a Gadol, to not have a Aliyah, to have an Aliyah without a head covering, that would be a terrible thing. But then he says, maybe not true. Maybe the requirement of wearing a yarmulke is only true when walking. But when standing in place, when sitting in place, you don't have to wear a yarmulke. How do you know? He brings a ride from this Rabbeinu Tam, which says that it's a ganai to stand without a mitznefes in the Azara, but the Lishcha Zagaz it would be permitted to stand without a mitznefes, which means anywhere outside the Azara, you can have no head covering. As long as you're standing, you're motionless, it would be allowed. But to walk around would be a problem. So it's an interesting ride he brings from this very Tosfos. The bottom now of Chaf Hamun Aleph, the Mishnah tells us that HaPayis HaSheni, now after finishing the discussion of the first Pais, which is all about the Trumas HaDeshem, we move now to the second Pais. There are a total of four Paisos. So the second Pais, Pais HaSheni, Mi Shochet, who does the Shechita, Mi Zorek, who does the Zrika, Mi Medashim Mizbech HaPnimi, who removes the ashes from the inner Mizbech, Mi Medashim Es HaMenorah, who removes the ashes from the menorah, Mi Ma'ale Evarm LaKevesh, who brings the various limbs up to the ramp, HaRosh VaRegel, we're going to see is the different orders of which goes, which Kohanim, but according to our Mishnah, the Rosh and Regel go together, the hand, the head and the legs, Shei Adayim, the two front legs, two hands of the animal, the Ha'okets, the tail, VaRegel, the other leg, HaChazeh, VaGeira, the chest and the neck, Shei Defanos, which are, they call it, like, flanks, which is like the shoulder areas, HaKrivayim, the innards, VaSolos is the flower, HaChavitim is the Minchas Chavitim they bring, VaYayin, and the wine. This was a total of Shlosha Sasrei Kohanim, 13 Kohanim, Zachu Ba, were Zoche, to do all those Avodas from the Shechita down to the Yayin. So then it comes along, Benazai Omer, Amar Benazai, Lifnei Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Derech Hilucha Hayakariv. He argued on the Mishnah, we'll see the different descriptions, the order of the way the Kohanim brought the animal up to the carbon, up to the Mizbeach. Some say it was an order of, what was more valuable. And according to Benazai, it's based on the way an animal walks. So the head goes first, and then the legs, and the front legs, and then the chest, and then it goes in the way the animal moves his body. That's how you bring it up to the ramp. And we'll see again a four or five way machlokas about that. So Gemara now wants to know, Ibailu, kishehein mefaisin, lavoda achas mefaisin, o dilma l'chavoda vavoda hein mefaisin. At each step here, did they do one avoda, they did one pious rather, and whoever got the shechita, he won, and everybody next to him got the one's order, they only did one pious, though. Look how Rashi says this. Rashi says, lavoda achas mefaisinan, could go in mishoche, they said, who's going to do the shechita now? Whoever zocha to the shechita, misha zocha l'shechita, shuv ein pious l'shar yud beis avodas. We don't need a pious for the remaining 12 avodas listed here. Ella kohanim shemukafin liyamino nimshach and achrav. Whoever stands to his right, they're the next guy in line. Kafi said their mishnaso, the sheni is lezrika, the guy next to him does lezrika, the shlishi, the third guy next to him does dishmishbech, and so on and so forth. So if Reuven's chosen, he's shechita, and Shimon gets lezrika, Levi gets dishmishbech, and so on. Only one pious at that stage. Or do we say when they got together, they did one pious, shechita wins? Okay, new lottery. Another lottery, who gets a Zrika? And they end up doing 13 lotteries at each instance. It's a one section. The Gemara is going to address this. So Gemara says, Tashma, it says, Arba Payasos Hayusham. There are only four Payasos. So according to this, Vitzak Adaitach, like you just asked, Mati, the Chol Avodain, if every single Avoda you need a separate Payas, Mephais and Tuvahava, there'd be 13, 14, 15, 20 Devin Payasos. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hachikamar. Arba pamim nichnasin lahapis. There are four times they got together, and each time they gathered, they did multiple payasos. So there are four gatherings. V'hachi kamar. Again, arba pamim nichnasin lahapis. U'lechol chad v'chada. Each time they got together, how you bought tuba payasos, they did multiple payasos. That's just at least in the Havamina to understand this side of the suffix. How do we paskin though? The mice, what do they do? So top of chaf heim beis, the Gemara says, Toshma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo hayu pious, lemachta, ela kohen, shezocha b'ktores. So when it came to the ktores, which is going to be the next pious, I believe, when it came to that pious, they would only do a pious for the machta. But so again, lo hayu pious lemachta, there would not be a separate pious for the machta, only the guy who does the ktores. I mean, when it came to the ktores, there are two avodas necessary. One guy required to bring the ktores itself, the other guy required to bring the gecholm, the coals. So they would not have a separate pious for the machta. Rather, lo ayu pious lamachta, ela kohen shezocha b'ktoris, whoever won the pious to do the ktoris itself, Omer lazeh shimo. He tells the guy next to him, the kohen standing next to him, zoche imi b'machta, you come and you do the machta. But there wasn't a separate pious. So we see just like by the ketores, there were not two payasos, so too by the shchita and the zrika and so on, there were not multiple payasos either. So Gemara says, you can't bring me a raya from a ketores. Because shiny machta v'ketores, techad avodi. That's a one avoda. They're attached to each other. Shchita and Zvika, Dishum is Be'achapinimi, those are all different avodas, so maybe those weren't separate payasos, but Ketores and Machta, that's one unit, you can't separate into two different payasos. Ikadami, others say, Dafka, Machta, Ketores, Dechad Avodi, maybe only by the Ketores and Machta, which is one avoda, has just one pious covering both of them. Aval Shar avodas, maybe you could learn from here, by other avodas, like the Shchita, Zvika, and Dishum is Be'achapinimi, and so on, Aval Shar avodas, by pious. You require pious. Maybe that's the conclusion we should make, that this would not be a raya. So Gemara says, no. The truth is, every single one, there's one pious for each unit. One pious for shechita, and everything just comes along with it. But there's a habamina that maybe by the macht and the ketores should require two separate payasas. It's the opposite svarna. Before we said that, if anything, that the ketores and machta should only require one pious, all others should require separate payasos. But this we're saying the opposite. Maybe every avoda requires one pious for the whole unit, and maybe the Ketores and Machta should require two separate payasos. Why would you think it should require two separate payasos? So the Gemara says as follows. Because Machta, it's Rechlei, because Sankadaitach, I mean, I would have thought, Hol velo shchicha u'me'asra, since the Ketores is very uncommon, the reason why it's uncommon is, even though they brought it every single day, you could not bring a Ketores as a nedava. A chatas you could bring as, rather a ola could bring as a nedava. There are many karbanos brought every single day that could be divided amongst other kohanim. Ketores only brought twice a day. There's no nedava. There's no third or fourth time. So it was limited relative to other karbanos. That's one. And also, ma'asa, which is lashon of ma'ashra, ashiris. There's a segula for ashiris, as we know, that those who did a ketores, it was a segula for becoming wealthy. So since it was in high demand, niskan le pious b'fnei atzmo, maybe there should be a separate pious for the macht as well. One for the ketores, one for the machta, kamashvalam, that we did it as one unit. What's interesting here is that one would think that the school of Ashirs might only be for the one who brings the ketores, and comes actually goes for two people. The guy who brings the machta, the guy who brings the ketores, both of them have this segula of the Ashirs, but either way, one, even though one would have thought there should be a separate pious for each one, we lump it together, and it's one considered one avoda, and under one pious. Either way, there's no raya from here, which way? Is there one pious for all of them, or do we do multiple payasos for each of the avodas? The Gemara concludes based on the following brisa, that's very clear, Tashma, the Tani Rebbe Chia, lo l'chol avoda v'avoda mefaisen, we don't have a separate pious for each avoda, for the shchita and the zrika and so on, el ha-kohen shezocha b'tamid, whoever zocha in the tamid itself, shtei masar achav ha-kohanim nimshach in imo, the 12 brothers or relatives who are standing next to him in the line, in the circle, shema mina, they are the ones who are doing it, that's how the Gemara answers the question. So now, the Gemara says, pious ha-sheni v'chulei. So the one thing that's notably missing in the Mishnah here, we go from shchita to zrika. But what about the Kabbalah? Kabbalah is not mentioned. There really are four of those. For some reason, it doesn't mention the halicha either, but we'll ignore the halicha for now. So it says the shchita and the zrika. Who's doing the Kabbalah? Who is it? Don't you need another coin to do the avoda? So ibailu mi makabo. Who's being makabo the blood? Shochei makabo is the one who shechs it. Is he going to be makabo? Because the amr is zorek makabo. If you say the one who's going to do the zrika, the next guy in line, he does the Kabbalah. Agav chavivusei lo makabalei l'kul adam. He might be so excited and run to do the zrika, and he won't catch all the blood. Rashi quotes a pasuk that says, you have to look at Rashi, agav chavivusei, Rashi says, the zrika, sheavodas mizbeach, the zrika which goes on the mizbeach, as we know, lo makabalei l'kul adam. He's not going to catch all the blood. V'amina l'kaman, we're going to learn in daf memches, you have to catch all the blood. You have to sit there and wait for all the blood to fall into the kli. As it says in the pasuk, that's kol hadam yishvach, pour all of it. But the guy's going to be so excited, he's going to get a little blood, he's going to run to do the zrika, he's not going to catch all the blood. So on one hand, we should not have the zorek do the Kabbalah, rather the shochet should do the Kabbalah. However, the flip side is going to tell us, Odilma, maybe it's better for the zorek to do the Kabbalah. Why? Why should the zorek be makabel? Because the amr shochet makabel, if you say the one who does a shchita, then he has to quickly remove to the catching the blood, zimnin d'shachet zar. A zar is allowed to do the shchita. Shchita is lav avodahi. We're going to learn later on in the next parak, shchita is not an avoda. And since it's not an avoda, a zar, a non-kohen is allowed to do this. So if a non-kohen does it, he's not allowed to do the Kabbalah though, only the shchita. So if he does a shchita, and if the general rule is that when a kohen does a shchita, he also does the Kabbalah, the Tzar might make a mistake, and after doing the Shechita, he might do the Kabbalah as well, and that would certainly be incorrect. So is it better for the Zorik to do the Kabbalah, or is it better for the Shochet to do the Kabbalah?
Is it physically possible to do
it's possible, yeah.
Kabbalah at the same time?
It's possible. I don't know how they do it exactly, but it's definitely possible.
Didn't we say we do a lottery for the Shchita?
Yeah, so if this would be the case. If the one bring it, not any Zohar could do it. If the one bring is carbon, he decides, I want to do the Shchita, he's allowed to do the Shchita. And then we ignore that Shchita, and then the next one would go to the Mekabel.
This is the Talmud, right? We're talking about
Ahi. This would be the Talmud, exactly.
So the Talmud, somebody's bringing a Talmud to carbon for the Tzibur.
Right? The Tzibur. So in this case, the Kohen must do it. But let's say a regular carbon. If we know by the carbon Talmud that if the Shochet, the Kohen, does the Kabbalah, which is allowed, so now by a regular carbon, if a Zar does it, he does a Shchita, he might think he could do the Kabbalah as well.
Ah,
yeah, yeah. So the Gemara then says as follows. So what's the, so who does the Kabbalah? Is it the Shochet, the Kohen, the Shochet in this case, or is it the Zorik who does the Kabbalah? The Gemara says, Tashma. The Gemara says, Tashma, Ben Katin, Asin Yud Beis Dad Lakir. So we're going to see later on in the Masechta as well, this is Daf Lamed Zayin, that the Mishnah lists the number of people, the Shvach, and some people, the Gnai as well, of wonderful things that they had done in the Beis Migdash. One of the wonderful things that were done, Ben Katin, it was an individual, he had made a very, very fancy kiur. The kiur in the Mishkan, and the kiur initially in the Beis Migdash, had, I think, just one faucet, maybe two faucets, and that was it, and he had to wait online to wash your hands. He made a nice, fancy kiur, which had 12 different faucets. 12 quantum could go together, wash your hands and legs at one time, very efficient, and then move on to the avoda. So that's what he made. So Ben Katan Asan Yud Beis Dad Lakir Kadeshu Yud Beis Achiva Kwanim Haasukin Betamid Mikachin Yadain Raglim Babas Achas. This way all 12 individuals who are Osik in the Karban Talmud could get prepared at one moment and then move on to the Karban Talmud very efficiently. Now Visakadaitach Shochet Makabel Tlaisahavi. Now if you were to think that the Shochet is the one who's doing the Kabbalah, so then you would need 13. Why? The person doing the Shchita, the Shochet, even if the Shochet's a Kohen, you do not need to wash your hands for the Shchita. Because by virtue of the fact that Shchita is lav avodei, and it can be done by a Zar, that tells us that you don't require Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So when a Kohen, even if a Kohen is doing the Shchita, he does not need to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So now, if the Shochet's doing the Kabbalah, however, so that means he has to do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim for the Kabbalah element. And that would actually be 13 Kohanim, not only 12. So why did Ben Katan make 12 Dadim? There should have been 13 Dadim. Must be that the Shochet's not doing Kabbalah. He does Shchita, and then he's removed from the picture. And the Zorik, who's doing the Kabbalah, so he's already washing his hands for Zerika. He's doing his hands for the Kabbalah. There's only 12 Kohanim who are Osek in the Karban Tavid. So the Gemara says, Elalav Shmamina, it's the Zorik who's Mekabel Shmamina. So you just look at Rashi. Rashi, just hopefully to solidify that a bit, Rashi writes, Tleser Havi, there are 13 Kohanim if you say that the Shochet is doing Kabbalah. Sharei, Shloshes Re'avodos Nimnu, B'Mishnah Seinu, there are 13 Avodos listed in our Mishnah. Bavodas Pais HaTamid, with respect to the carbon domin. Elosha Shchita Eina Tuna Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Shchita does not require washing hands and feet. Afilu Kishia Kohen. Even when the Kohen is doing it, you don't have to wash your hands and feet. Lefi Shehi Avoda Shi Kisher Bazar. Since it can be done by a Zar, it's not an Avoda, then does not require Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Now, V'Amris, if you're going to suggest that the Shochet is the Mekabel, Nimsa Shutzarch L'Kaddish Yad V'Raglav B'Shvil HaKabbalah. He would have to wash his hands because he's doing the Kabbalah as well. And the fact that we only have 12 Kohanim who are washing the hands and not 13 must be that the Shochet is not doing the Kabbalah. And the Gemara says, reinforces this, and the Gemara says, Amr le Rav Acha Brei Derava, Rav Ashi Af Ananami Tanina. We also learn this clearly in the Mishnah, which says, Shochet HaShochet, when the Shochet shechs the carbon, this is a Gemara Meseches Tamid, Mishnah Meseches Tamid, the Kiba HaMakabla Makabla then catches the blood, Uvalo Lizok, and he, who's he? Uvalo, it's referring to the Makabel, goes and does a Zrika, Shmamina. So the Makabel and the Zorik is the same person, and the Shochet is a separate individual. So now the Gemara quotes from the end of the Mishnah about the order in which they bring the carbon tamar and the various limbs up the ramp. So the Gemara quotes, Amar ben Azai, Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, it goes, Keder Chilucha, the way the animal walks, that's how you schlep the animal up the ramp. So Tanir Rabbanan, Keita Der Chilucha, what's considered Der Chilucha? So Harosha Regel, they go first, one coin. Hachazeva Gera, the chest and the neck is the next part of the way the animal walks. Shtei Adayim, the two front legs are the next part. Shtei Defanos are the shoulders, which walk behind the hands. Haoketzva Regel, on the end, is the tail and the leg. That's how it goes up the ramp, because that's how the animal walks. Reb Yossi Omer, Derech Havshata, the way you skin the animal, that's how you bring it up the ramp. Hayah Kariv, that's how it's Kariv. Ketzad, how is derech hafshata? What's the way in which it's skinned? Harosh v'regel, you put the hand, rather the head and the leg, that's the first coin, brings those two up. Ha'oketz v'regel, then apparently you start skinning the animal from the back, so you do the tail and the other leg. V'shei defanos, then you work down the shoulders. V'shei adayim, then the two front legs. And then finally, achazav agera, and then the chest and the neck. That's how the skinning. The skinning apparently goes from the back to the front of the animal. That's how it's brought up the ramp. We have the kiva omer derech nisucha, the way it's chopped up, hayakarav. That's how you bring it to the mizbech. Keta derech nisucha, how do you chop up the animal? Harosh v'rego, go first. Shedain, then the next hand. Hachazav agera, then the chest and the neck. And then shedefanos, the shoulder areas. V'okitz v'rego, then finally the tail and the leg. And then comes along the final shot of the Mishnah is in the Brisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer derech iluyav, based on the highest quality of meat, that's how it's brought up the ramp, hayakarav. Ketan, how is derech iluyav? What's the considered the highest quality? Harosh v'regel, go first. Hachazav agera, apparently that's the next highest quality in meat. V'sheya defanos and the shoulder area. V'okitz v'regel, and then the tail and the leg. And hachazav agera, and then the regel v'sheya daim. Those are the last parts of the animal. Fine. So now the Gemara says, v'haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, kol nasach tov yarech v'kasev? So doesn't it say here that the leg goes before the shoulders? How could he suggest here that the shoulders, which is the same thing as the defanos, go before the regel? The pasuk clearly says that their leg goes before the shoulder. So it's a different order than Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Gemara said, "Ahu bekhusha." That's talking about a lean animal. When it comes to a lean animal, so then apparently the leg is better than the shoulders. But if it comes to a fatty animal, so then the shoulders are more valuable, more delicious than the legs. So Amar Rava, Rava says, "Bein Tana Didan, Bein Rabbi Yossi." Our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi, they both agree, Basar Iluyav de Basar Azlinam. They go based on the highest quality of meat. That was a list in Rabbi Yossi, and you go back to our Mishnah, they also listed it apparently in the highest level of meat, goes first. So, however, Mar Azir Basar Ibra de Bisra, Umar Azir Basar Shmana de Bisra. There's a slight machlokas in the Mishnah, what is considered highest quality. So, what's the machlokas in terms of the order? So, it says, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, in the last three lines of the page here, Mar Azir Basar Evra, based on the Evarim, Tana Didan Holich Achar Ilav Godel Hevarim, in terms of the size, the amount, the quantity of each limb, the biggest ones go first. And Rabbi Yossi Holich Achar Ilav Hashem, based on the quality, how fatty, the fattier the meat, the better the meat is. So that's the machlokas between the Mishnah, meaning they both go based on what's better, but it's better defined by size, or it's better defined by quality. That's the machlokas between our Mishnah and the Brisa. Turned out there are a total of five different pshatim of the order in which they are brought up into the ramp. And then the Gemara says, "My time masalka regel b'hadei resha." So everyone agreed that the head went first with the regel. Everyone agreed, rosh regel first. So why is the regel accompanying the rosh? So the Gemara explains here as follows: "My time masalka regel b'hadei resha, mishum the resha nefisha be'atzamos kiva regel b'hadei." Since the head is full of bones, it's skulls, there's not much meat in the head, so you want to have some meat accompanying it. So they took the regel, which has a lot of meat, and they kind of balanced it out to complement the rosh. And that's why the rosh and regel went together. To Chuli Alma, Mias Rosh Kari Bereisha. Everybody agrees that the head certainly goes first. Minon. How do you know that rosh goes first? The Tanya, this is based on the Mefurish Pasuk. Minayin the rosh upader shikod minuchal aivarim. That the head, and they actually cover the area of the shechita, where the shecht of the animals, the head was cut off, they covered it with some pader, with some fat. So how do you know that the head and the pader go first? The shekodman, the chayivarm, that come before all the other limbs. Tamaloma, the Pasuk says, as a rosho vis pidro, the head and its fat. V'arach, and you put on the mizbeach that way. V'idach pader achrina. Apparently it says pader in the Pasuk a separate time. What's that extra pader referring to? Pader is a certain area of the body where the fats. That fat was put on top of the head and covered the makom hashechita and put on. So, but what's the other pader mentioned in another Pasuk? What's that referring to? And the Gemara says, going on to Daf Chav Vav, and we'll finish with this. Ulamai Asa, Lichadatanya, the Braisa teaches us that Ketzad Hayosim, how exactly would they do bring the Evarim on the Mizbech? No sin is a peder abeis hashechita, they place the fat on the makom hashechita, umaleo, they bring it up that way, v'zeu derech kavod shamal. That would be considered the appropriate way. So apparently they learned this from this drasha here, that you cover the extra pader, that you cover up the makom hashechita. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We finished this discussion of Rav Nachman and Rishayish, whether or not when doing the pious they wore Bigdei Kodesh or Bigdei Chol. We brought various brises back and forth, proving different ways, and we ended up saying that there is no conclusive din, but we did learn some interesting dinim along the way, that they're moving the mitznefes, whether or not there was a mitznefes The mothers would make the big day chol look like the big day kuna, and then the Gemara discussed how lishchas agazis was half kodesh, half chol. One pesach was from chol, one pesach was from kodesh, and the concept of ein yeshiva bazara ela l'malchus beis David. We discussed the mission of the pious of all 12/13 avodas from shechita down to zrika, and then discussion whether there was one pious and whoever stood next to the kohen was the next, or he did a separate pious for each of the avodas. We concluded from a very clear brisa that there was one pious and the rest were nimshachim after whoever was selected, and the Ketoris and the Machta was done as one pious because that's considered one avoda, that's considered one unit, according to all opinions. And then who was being Makaba? Was the Shochet being Makaba? Was the Zarek being Makaba? We concluded from a very clear brisa that it was the Zorek, who is Makabel. Then finally, the 4-way/5-way machlokas about the order in which they brought the different limbs up to the Mizbeach for the carbon tamid. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.